You are now listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans, with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart.
The Corey Clapperboard sounds, and it's episode 4. You didn't hear it, but it was there. It was so we could get the sync right.
It's pretty loud.
It was, yeah. You wouldn't want to hear it.
Hands of steel.
I've lost my grasp of English language,
which is handy for a podcast.
I was going to say it's not that good at the best of times.
Oh dear.
So last week we had Stuart Derrieta on, who, if you haven't listened to the episode, go back and check that one out. Short but sweet, but covering kind of a bit about his 5 shows he's bringing to the Adelaide Fringe. But he does take them other places as well. So when the world is open, he plays like Edinburgh Fringe and, he does tour with those shows. So, check it out, and you can check a lot of clips out on his website, things like that. So you can kind of, if you like the cut of his jib and you don't want to follow him on social media, you can kind of find out when he might be in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you can't make it to Adelaide.
Well, he comes back every now and then. Doing shows as well as just the Fringe, doesn't he? He sort of pops in and out.
Absolutely,
COVID permitting.
Yeah, no, look, normally that's his livelihood. Yeah. And, I guess that's why he's got a number of shows to, maximise that potential. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the world kind of opens up for him and he can, start to earn some money, because that's his only source of income. So, but, yeah, if you're listening, you're in Adelaide, I can highly recommend going and checking out those shows. Certainly the ones that I've seen are Leonard Cohen and my Joe Cocker, both brilliant, and I'm going to try to catch the other shows while he's in town. Mm. But, yes, we thought we might kind of riff a little on our upcoming Fringe show. Or things we are doing or have been doing of late, and maybe kind of what we're planning to, be doing post Fringe, and I won't say throughout 2022, as I don't really like to kind of base my life on years, in the sense that it's just like next year I'm going to do this, or so it's just the continuum going forward, post Fringe, and. Yeah. The kind of journey that we've begun, I guess.
Yeah.
And the Fringe is probably a big first step. I mean, we've been doing a few little bits and pieces here recently.
Well, before the podcast, we did a bit of a tech rehearsal.
Oh yes.
That actually sounded really good. Sort of sorting out all of the hardware that we're going to be using for the show and seeing if it all works. So when we do the sound check, it'll be nice and easy.
I had to try
it all sorted out.
Although we're keeping a little bit of stuff on the down low, I had to try out my new boots because I had to work out what it was like pressing pedals with, some boots on, which I'll leave it at that. So for people who don't know, but we're delivering the complete package. Let's say when we step on stage at this Fringe, and I guess that's the big kind of relaunch, and we're going to cover in this season of Soul Trader podcast, we will kind of cover a bit more of the history of Soul Trader, but I mean really we're preparing the Fringe is a way of just kind of dipping our toe in a relaunch of those sorts of performances at a kind of a festival or a show, but we've been doing a little bit of stuff in the lead up. We had a little live performance in the street, just actually quite near the venue where we're going to be playing.
Yeah.
Music on Flinders, for anybody who is an Adelaidean, they have a season kind of through the warm weather. So they're coming towards the end of their season now, and then they start up again, when the weather starts to warm up. So it'll probably still go through March, I think. But, they just have some musical performers in the street that people can just kind of wander down in their lunch break and have a bit of a listen. So we got a first little hit out.
Yeah, it was good. And
that's fun, yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And to my surprise, they did a video of it and it's up on their YouTube channel. So I wonder if it's possible to actually put a link to that, anyone listening, if they wanted to have a bit of a squiz. Don't worry about the first song because I was out of tune. Other than that, it sounds great.
Yeah, just note to self, tune guitar before
tune
start
guitar
playing.
Beforehand.
There's nothing worse than somebody...
Don't be so arrogant to think, no, everyone, you know, everyone's got to tune to you. It's like...
But that's the funny thing, isn't it? It's just like when you're the first guy who's playing, you strum the first chord and go, oh, whoops, I got to tune this. When you're the second guy and like the other guy's already started and you're like, oh, damn. Mm. You know, I mean, in this day and age, it's a little bit easier to kind of tune guitar when there's other things going on because a lot of the new tuners work on vibration rather than actual sound. Whereas I remember back in the day, you'd be in a rehearsal room and you'd be like telling the drummer to shut up because you were just trying to tune your guitar. That's,
yeah, exactly.
But I'd started and you were kind of like, we'll just battle on.
I'll just minimize what I'm playing so it only sounds half shit. But that's all right. I mean, it wasn't that bad. It was overly chorused. Let's put it that way. Yes. There was a little bit of phasing going on, but that's all right.
I think, when was it? Oh, it wasn't as bad as the live stream that we did the other day where my guitar, I replaced the strings and it was completely out of tune and I started playing it. It was like, whoa, that's not even close to being in tune.
Yeah, that's what you get with stringed instruments. And it was really hot in there and that affects, you know.
Of course.
Whole number of things affect the tuning and the intonation of instruments. So
yeah, absolutely.
It happens to the best of them.
It does. And, you know, we've done it. You're on did a little radio gig. When was that? Hang on. No, the night before last. I'm just losing track of time.
Yeah, Monday night.
Monday night, yes. So we're recording this. Normally we record on a Tuesday, but we're recording on a Wednesday. And you get this on a Friday, is the usual.
You'll still get it on Friday.
And you will, yes.
Yeah.
So we've been doing little bits and pieces. But as I said, the Fringe is kind of like the first kind of. Official.
It is an official, officially sanctioned gig kind of thing.
If you're hearing this and you're in Adelaide, go and buy tickets to our Fringe show. There'll be, you know, we got plenty of room in the venue. You know, ticket sales are, you know, they're ticking along, but we can always do with some more. The venue is. You know, it's not like a house with a low roof. It's a big meeting hall with a big high roof, lots of air. Yeah. You know, masks are mandatory. But please come along and enjoy one of the shows. You know, it might just be you and us, but we'll give you a cracking performance. And, we'd just like to get some bums on seats. But then beyond the Fringe...
Mm-hmm. Beyond the Fringe is going to be a large cup of tea and a lie down after.
I was going to say there is going to be an exhale and I can think about something other than the Fringe and talking about the Fringe.
Yeah.
It's not that I am not looking to and going to enjoy it, but it's just the fact that you obviously you put
well, they
a lot
don't call it Mad March for nothing. They don't call it, you know, Frantic February and Mad March in Adelaide for nothing. It's everything gets pushed into, you know, 6 weeks, basically.
Yeah.
And the last 2 weeks of Feb and all of March is everything happens. And then Adelaide, you know, has a cup of tea and a lie down for the rest of the year.
Yeah. So, I mean, and obviously we've been preparing, you know, stuff, songs, you know, the way we perform those songs. There's a lot of rehearsals that kind of goes into that. And, you know, also just the way we kind of present ourselves on stage, we've been kind of, developing that as well. So there's kind of been a lot of stuff going on in the background and we don't have a team of people. It's pretty much the two of us at this point in time. Maybe one day we'll have a lighting department, a sound department, a costume department, and we'll kind of just walk in and go, is everything ready for us? I'll be in my trailer. No, I mean, but it's, so it's a bit frantic, but we have done some live streams that you may have seen on or you may have tuned into on our Facebook page. Post the Fringe, we'll be doing more of those and we'll be looking to kind of expand it out probably, you know, streaming to multiple social media platforms at once like YouTube and Facebook, for example, just so you've got a choice of where you'd like to tune in. Some people prefer, some people don't use Facebook, happy to go to YouTube, those kind of things.
Yeah. I mean, I can see more videos. You know, I can see us branching more into videos as a means to just get us out there in the forefront of the minds of the people sort of watching. That's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be an opportunity for people to sort of discover or rediscover, you know, what we're about and how it all works, you know, how Soul Trader works, how the songwriting works, and there's plans with that. I think you were talking about before getting back into the studio and doing recording. You know, recordings for a next release, a next collection of songs, which I'd like to think will be done by the end of this year. But
yeah, I think
we'll need to get the fringe out the way first before we do that. But yeah, you know, we'll be taking it on board, sort of the duties of sort of recording and producing and shaping the songs, and that's, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah,
that's going to be really cool.
I mean, basically, I mean, to give you kind of, I know we probably spoke about this in last season a little bit when we kind of ended last season, and we might have spoken a bit about the start of this season. But let's just say you're tuning in for the first time, won't, you know, draw it out. But basically, end of last year, I moved. We were getting into recording some stuff and working on some songs, and then we went, okay, we're going to do the Fringe, and then basically. I moved house, and then Corey's been selling a house, and we basically kind of had to put the studio stuff on hold. So we focused on the Fringe, and we're both kind of, you know, champing at the bit to kind of take what we're doing at the Fringe effectively and what we've been doing in the live streams and rehearsal, and try to kind of it's like trying to take something out of your head and put it on a page. I mean, you know, in terms of if you think of an artist kind of trying to, you know, put something on a canvas, when it comes to the studio, it's trying to capture that essence of the kind of live performance of just you and me standing in a room playing, and trying to, you know, put that into a produced form, I guess. And it's nice that you can come to live streams. It's nice that you can check out YouTube videos, but it's ultimately getting something down that can be on your local streaming platform. They're not local, but, you know, your streaming platform of choice, and so you can take some Soul Trader tunes with you wherever you go. And I think we'll start with releasing a few individual tracks and then build to some sort of compilation of those tracks, whether it's an EP or an album, or, you know, we'll just see what kind of transpires as we start to do it. But our aim is to kind of get some stuff out to you as soon as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, post-Fringe, and it's kind of one of those things where it's kind of like, at the moment, even brain power trying to think past the Fringe is like, oh yeah, one day the Fringe will be in the past.
And so will the Fridge.
Yes, I know. It sounded like Fridge. It was meant, I don't know if it came out right. But anyway, it's been in the kind of forefront of her mind, and now it's, you know, we're only a few days away from the first performance. But it's, that will be a phone ringing.
That will. See, we are live. I'll actually turn that off.
I put my phone on Do Not Disturb. Corey, obviously, well, he's got an Android phone, so I don't even know what functionality you have to do that. But anyway, there you go. Anyway. It's all happening here at Soul Trader HQ. Well,
how rude.
Where we're recording.
Me.
No, that's
right. My goodness gracious me.
It's better than if you do it on the radio or something like that, or a TV interview. That'd be the worst.
Yeah, I've seen that happen.
Yeah, news reporters that have their own phone sitting on the desk and it rings. But look, I mean, so really it's, you know, the studio is obviously, you know, a way we can kind of also get the music out to everybody no matter where you are. We'll be doing regular streams, and the stream we did last Sunday, Sunday the 20th, is still online, but we will be kind of doing streams and then only leaving them up for a few days normally, allowing you to kind of have a listen if you just missed out, but then removing them so you can kind of then look forward to the next one. Whereas yeah. we leave them up there, then they're always just sitting there. So it's, we want to kind of keep it fresh and current with the live streams. So we will be kind of broadcasting stuff and then giving you a, you know, a window to kind of have a bit of a catch up if you weren't there. But also I think in the mix of things, I mean, we do want to head overseas later in the year, all things being kind of equal and the world permitting it and opportunities being able to be lined up for this kind of calendar year. But the other thing, not only with potentially kind of festival-y type ideas, is, you know, house concerts is something that we're both very keen to kind of do.
Mm.
And the great thing with that is it it strips away a lot of the technology. So for the fringe type shows and those sorts of shows, we'll be kind of starting it at the fringe and developing it over time is developing a sonic experience, I guess, in the sense that, you know, guitar sounds and, you know, having other instruments potentially introduced in terms of electric guitars or electric acoustic guitars, bass, things like that. Whereas our house concert experience will be that raw experience, you, me, two guitars, no microphones. Mm. You know, I mean, this podcast is unscripted, as you're probably aware, but, you know, it's just off the cuff and it's just raw. It's just the two of us.
Yeah.
But the house concert experience is in the same way that we have microphones getting this to you. You know, a live stream has that, you know, screen in the way, and a bigger concert type fringe or festival type gig has a stage in the way and you know, it's a big room. Whereas the house concert thing is so much more kind of intimate and allows yeah. us to kind of, yeah, connect on a different
It does, different level. But it still means that, you know, we would be able to sort of craft some sort of experience for the audience, for the listener.
Absolutely.
And for me anyway, that's what this is all about. You know, I'm not interested in just being a replicator of tunes. No. I've spent, you know, over a decade, you know, probably 12, 15 years just being like a human jukebox, you know.
Yes.
And it's like, I just don't want to do that anymore.
You know? Yeah.
Because I want to be a creator of experiences. I want us to be a creator of experiences. I want people to come to, a Soul Trader show and be touch moved and inspired by what it is that we do. I want the conversation that we have with the audience to be akin to a deep and meaningful rather than just chatting about the weather.
Yeah. You know? I mean,
so.
And any time you go to a band that you really enjoy, if it's a good experience, that's what you get. Obviously, it comes in a range of forms. I mean, some bands are more kind of, the big show kind of thing. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I think that there'll be a. The great thing with the house concert versus let's call it a festival show, is obviously one is more intimate, but also it'll just be a different experience in terms of a different way of kind of hearing the songs. And basically, ultimately, you know, if we're in your neck of the woods and we're playing a festival, it doesn't mean you don't want to have a house concert, because the house concert experience,
they're two separate things.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost. Yeah, so it's kind of like an unplugged, but it's more than that. It's, you know, when it's in your own house with your kind of nearest and dearest, you know, your family, your friends, people who also enjoy music, people who may never have heard of us, but you go, you've got to kind of come and hear Soul Trader because I like them and I want you to kind of like them too, because it's nice to have, you know, share what you enjoy with your friends.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're going to try to kind of, create two really separate experiences where, you know, you're hearing songs in a slightly different kind of format. And you'll probably, you know, I mean, from stuff we will put online, you'll kind of get a sense of that in advance. We will start to promote the home concert experience. And obviously, as we kind of move further down the, I mean, it's not like everybody thought the pandemic was going to be over after a year and 2021 started. And they were like, yeah. And it's like, it's not going to be that over that quick. But as we move down the continuum of the whole pandemic becoming less of a burden, I guess, and allowing us more freedoms, then hopefully, you know, towards the end of this year, you know, the house concert thing could become more. I mean, in Australia now, you could effectively have a house concert, but you'd probably prefer to have it in your backyard rather than jamming everybody into your lounge room.
Yeah.
And so
that is true.
You know, yeah. Whereas we want it to be kind of intimate and PA free. We really could like prefer our house concerts to be at PA free zone. So it's just two kind of you know, minstrels playing in the corner together, yeah. Which should be fun. But we will be doing, as Corey said, video stuff. We want to play around with a bit of video content. So if you're listening to this and you're not subscribed to us on YouTube, you know, navigate your way there, probably via the website. Because we will kind of not be sharing everything across every, you know, platform.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, we won't be uploading every video to Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, everywhere. It's like some stuff will be on YouTube and, you know, we might reference it, but that's where it'll live. So go and subscribe there so you're up to date with the latest. But we're going to have we might have a bit of fun with some of the things on there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we might, we don't want to, I mean, we're all about doing original stuff, the two of us together, even though we might be doing other bits and pieces still solo here and there. But we feel that the two of us together is worthwhile kind of keeping focused on the original stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's right. I mean, we were talking about this earlier.
It's sounding too good to
about
play K-San, that's all.
Well, yeah.
I've never played that song, by the way.
Well, I reckon I've played it a handful of times in my sort of human jukebox / coverland career. I have it up my sleeve. Only if the audience is really, 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 really persistent, because I try as much as I possibly can to not play it.
What you should do is do a really bad version of it once.
Oh, see, I couldn't do that.
And then nobody will ask for it again.
Yeah, but if you do a really bad version of any song and then someone who wants to book you back hears it, well, then you've just ruined your opportunity to play again.
This is true.
But no, I
sing the wrong lyrics. I don't really know the lyrics. I'll make something up. It's just like, sorry, I don't really know this one. Play it really well with all the wrong words.
That's right. So yeah, but I mean, there are going to be opportunities where, because I had this thing in my head about putting a series of videos together, and it's all about songs that you wish you'd written.
Yeah.
And then you talk about why that inspires you. Because really, I don't have a problem with playing covers. If you, I use learning the songs of other people as a means to deconstruct what works songwriting wise, and then getting, you know. So I use it as a template to sort of work out, well, you know, how does Paul McCartney write songs? Well, you know, I've always said, if you want a masterclass in pop songwriting, like learn every song in the ABBA back catalogue.
Yeah.
Or Hall & Oates or something like that. I mean, it's perfect pop music. So that's what I use it for. But I do love artists that, you know, they have amazing stuff of their own, and then they take a song and they make it their own. It's they're really retelling the story.
Yeah.
And so I don't use it as, it's like I don't wholly and solely discover people based on the strength of their covers. But if they do add a song in that they do in their own way, it's just like, oh, okay, you like that? Oh, that's really nice, you know. Especially if it's a song that I really love and then they do this amazing version, it's just like the respect level just goes up a mile when I hear that. And so I think you and I, either jointly or separately or both, we'd be able to do some cracking versions of songs that we wish we'd written.
Yeah, yeah. I think we might, and that's the beauty of having the online space is I think that we might mess around with the potential of doing some stuff, and we've got a few little ideas that we'll maybe leave for a more of a surprise down the track.
Of course. But if you do have any ideas out there about what you would like us to do video-wise or anything like that, let us know.
Oh, yes, feel free to share.
Because, we've got plenty of ideas. We don't necessarily need to ask anybody's help. We've already got it there. It'd just be nice to include people in. You know, you see some YouTubers there, they just seem really desperate. They're on their hands and knees going, oh, please tell me. Please tell me what you want me to do because I want you to like me. It's like, no, I'm not going down that path. But you know, I think if we go out to the collective mind of the listener and they say, oh, well, maybe you should do a video about songs in the key of the Proclaimers. So, you know, you do a song and you just sing it with a really bad Scottish accent or something like that. Because, I mean, we think of each other and, you know, we think we're pretty funny. You know, so, you know, maybe we should do that. I don't know.
We can be at times. At least we think we are at times.
That's right.
I think the other thing is that we can if we mess around with cover stuff, it will be kind of, as you were kind of saying, like trying to find those ones where you go, I reckon we could do a really nice version of this song.
Mm.
And then we do it for the YouTube space rather than, we'll probably be avoiding, at least the plan is at this stage, to kind of be avoiding having to spend hours of rehearsal time. Yeah. To rehearse up 3 hours, and then it can't just be 3 hours. It has to be more songs than just, you know, yeah, one set of 3 hours for exactly. for a pub-style gig, when at the moment I can go and play those gigs without having to rehearse, or I can add a new song here or there and that's easy enough, and you can do the same.
Sure.
Because we really want to focus our energy as much as humanly possible on...
Oh,
on
original music trumps everything else.
On Soul Trader stuff and writing more
do,
stuff.
Yeah, stuff that we do trumps everything else, absolutely.
And the songs that are getting... You know,
it's like the flush beats are straight.
Yes, yes. You know? I was going to say the other great thing about tuning into our live streams, and we have spoken about, you know, how we kind of, I guess, build our tribe, build our following, build our true fans, our supporters, people who are there.
The tradies.
The tradies.
The Soul Trader community, the yes. tradies.
And
the subbies, but the tradies, mate. Taylor Swift has a Swiftie.
You know what we should do is we need a T-shirt that has...
I'm a tradie.
We need a T-shirt that has print on it that looks like a high-vis vest.
Yeah.
But between the front of the high-vis vest has the Soul Trader logo just slightly obscured.
Yeah.
And we can
have to work on that.
We can flog it off to tradies. But, yeah, like the great thing about the streaming, doing our live streams is... It's a really good way to get some kind of instant feedback, and obviously we can do it in video form as well, but it's a great way to get some feedback on the songs that are really kind of grabbing people and people going, oh, I love this song, or can, you know, we've played one live stream and they come back to the next one and they say, oh, can you play this song? It gives us good navigation as to, hey, we really need to get that song recorded.
Mm.
So as we do more live streams, we'll introduce... new songs, in that space probably.
Yeah.
And partly it will be to, put it out to the audience to help them kind of, in some ways, shape the direction. That's not to say there might not be surprises along the way where we kind of record some songs that we've never played before. But giving the audience an opportunity to kind of... I've always... In the bands that I watch, I always thought it'd be great to see behind the scenes and imagine if they gave you songs. Imagine if they gave you a list of songs and you got to pick which ones they'd play at their concert, and you could like pick really random stuff that they wouldn't normally play.
Oh, bloody hell. That just reminded me. Elvis Costello did a tour of that. So he had a big big wheel, you know, you spin the wheel.
Oh, wow.
You know, and it's a podcast, so I'm twirling my hand around going, like this is, no one can see it unless you're looking at the video there. But yeah, so it had like a, oh, what do you call it? Just one of those wheels.
It's like a, yeah.
Like a Wheel of Fortune sort of wheel thing with names of songs.
Right.
You know, so, and basically, you know, he'd get, either he would spin it or he'd get someone from the audience to come up and spin the wheel, and wherever it would land, they'd play that song.
Right.
And it's like, brilliant, you know. To have a back catalogue that you could do that with.
Yes.
Because it'd be a very small wheel at the moment for us, but that's okay. We're building on that. But, you know, I think...
Yeah, it'd be like, there'd be like, at the moment, Fringe Show, there's 12 songs and it's just like, you're just picking the order.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not...
That's right. What about song 13? Well, we don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Not at the moment. But, you know, just, yeah, stuff like that. I mean, taking something that's already been done and just sort of getting outside the box or going a bit left field with it is really good. And, you know, we're always looking for a way to sort of be different and stand out, I suppose. And I suppose really going down the path of, you know, and what I've been saying when I've been sort of talking to people on Facebook and whatever, is two guys, two guitars, two voices, one united harmony. Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean,
and that's a great starting point for wherever we go to from there.
Oh, it's we were talking about on the radio the other day, the other night when we were on there, and just saying that there's just, I mean, it's hard from an insider's perspective. It's like when you kind of just go, you can't kind of talk yourself up. You know, you have that thing where talking yourself up is difficult.
Yeah.
But you and I together, it sounds special.
Yeah.
You know.
It does. Certainly does. And we just want to keep being special.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's a, I mean, I don't believe in magic, but, you know, there's just something that when you and I are playing together, it's not like it. I think I said it the other night on the radio. I think it's slightly effortless. There's it's not like we don't practice our asses off and work really hard at it. But when we're in the groove, when we get a song at a point, it just kind of seems to slot into an effortless kind of, you know, mode where the harmonies just really resonate beautifully, and it's just you know, you're in a, it's like you know, they talk about being in the pocket, you know, like with music and stuff like that, but it just is that we get to a point where it just is working kind of beautifully. And I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to kind of get to a point where we've kind of got as you say, a back catalogue, and then be able to you know, do something like a Wheel of Fortune. And that might be a house concert type experience where you kind of do that as a unique thing.
Absolutely. But it's safe to say that, you know, you look for the way that I see it is that how it feels on stage playing the music with you on stage is like, It's something that you search for many years for, that feeling of effortlessness.
Mm.
You know, I mean, there's still work involved and all that, but it just clicks. It's like a Mac. It just works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you search forever to find something like that.
Yeah, I think it's probably, you know, it exists in a lot of, you know, different things where, you know, like, somebody can, you know, I don't know, they could be riding a bike down a trail, or they could be doing something where you just feel like you're, you know, you're still, your skills are, all your skills are required to keep you in that pocket or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's been interesting because obviously we've been doing the podcast for a while, and, you know, I guess we've been talking about the music and things like that, and, you know, and even since we finished last season and starting this season, we kind of got deeper into the rehearsal side of things. It's really kind of come together kind of nicely, and it's kind of exciting to be part of that, but also, you know, interesting to see kind of what's ahead.
Yeah.
And we do hope that across this year that we really are able to put out, you know, studio recordings of a number of songs that people are hearing and really kind of, you know, build a catalogue quickly, you know, because we've got plenty of good songs sitting waiting. It was hard to cull them down to the hour fringe 12,
yeah,
which we've really focused in on. But there's, you know, 20 others probably. There's also our first CD, and we're playing two songs off of that, and one off one of my previous CDs, a song that we've always kind of played. But yeah, we're hopefully going to bring you those studio albums, or studio tracks, I should say. Hopefully soon after the Fringe, which finishes up around the middle of March.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll certainly be doing that. And that's also when we'll be picking up the live stream stuff again. We'll be taking a bit of a breather until we get the Fringe out of the way.
Yeah.
But then they'll become kind of a regular part of the Soul Trader diet. We'll work on some more kind of, you know, clips and the stuff that we've been talking about today. So please make sure that you're following us on any social media platforms you use, but the more the better. You know, obviously a lot of stuff is going to land on YouTube, so be on there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, where we'll also be posting stuff and letting you know that, you know, videos have landed on YouTube and go and check them out, or, you know, we've got live streams coming up and stuff like that. But, and, of course, you know, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, because although we'll be talking to other guests and things like that, we'll be, yeah. Next week we'll probably talk a little bit about how the first Fringe show went, I guess. But
yeah.
But generally we'll be having other guests in, and as COVID eases as well, that makes that a little bit easier as well. So stay tuned to the Soul Trader podcast.
Yeah, because now and in the future, sort of audio and video is going to feature a lot more, as well as the live shows in the diet, as you say, in the Soul Trader diet.
And in the podcast, we've talked about it in the past that we might do some episodes talking about songs that we've written and just breaking them down a little bit, or just talking about how they were constructed, or, you know, not getting too technical about it, more talking about just, you know, just the flow of ideas and how we ended up where we ended up.
Yeah.
You
know what I'd like to do sort of later on down the track is I would like to do a live stream in which it's just us two sitting there, right, and we just have, you know, a conversation with whoever is on there. So it's just a live stream, you know, Q&A. And, just something like that, just as a bit of an experiment. So you've got, you've got your live stream, which, you know, where they're playing our guitars and there's a mic there and it sounds really good. And then, because I'm taking a leaf from, you know, people like, say, Rick Beato or something like that, in which, you know, you have a regular thing in which you just, you know, you're just there and it's like, okay, shoot, let's go, let's have a chat, you know, stick your comments up, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And we just riff about what's been going on, how the week has been, just as a means of, you know, having a conversation with people either locally or around the world. I'm sure Julie will be on.
Yes,
that'd be great.
Julie's our biggest
fan. I'll be able to find out a little bit more about Julie.
Yeah,
I mean, through that. But I mean, you know, just things like that. You know.
Yeah, yeah. And we have spoken about as we kind of build across season two, maybe doing an actual podcast live stream. So we record the podcast and effectively.
Oh yeah, that put, too. Yeah,
put,
yeah.
Put,
too.
You know, and we could put out what you're talking about as an actual episode of the podcast, where it was just a conversation with fans and, you know, just letting people throw questions at us, or, you know, if they want to know a little bit more about a song, or, you know, they haven't kind of maybe listened to every episode of the podcast, there might be questions that we have kind of touched on in the past. But if they want to know more, doing that as a live stream and putting it up as one of the episodes. We're all in, so jump on board with us.
Yep.
We'll be here kind of, regular content all the time. And, we're both kind of excited about what the kind of the coming months and years, you know, as it will be, hold. But, yeah. Thanks
Get into it. Be a tradie.
Yes, yes. Get yourself a tool belt.
Oh, Soul Trader tool belts. Oh, lovely, lovely.
Yeah, you're a tool belt with like that, a guitar hanging off it.
That's right. That's right. back of the head. I'll write that down anyway.
But yeah, look, thanks for listening to the Soul Trader podcast. Remember to subscribe. We'll chat to you in the next one.
If you're in Adelaide, see you at a show. And in the meantime, ciao for now.
See you later.
All right, bye. Bye.
You have been listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart. Be sure to check out soultradermusic.com and CoreyStewartOnline.com. See you next week.